Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everybody. And while we have lots of fascinating primary results and important Syria politics to talk about, this is not just another morning after an election or a morning after a presidential address about war. It is 9/11. And forever, at least in our lifetimes, it's a day we New Yorkers observe and take a moment to grieve and to remember on, whether or not we knew anyone personally who perished on that day 12 years ago. So I just want to acknowledge that for now to start out and send our thoughts and prayers to those of you for whom it's the most personal. And later in the program, we'll take your calls as we take a tour through some of the neighborhood memorials that have sprung up in so many places since the attacks. We know about the big one down at the World Trade Center site, but we also know that they are in existence in so many places in our area. And we'll talk about some of those and take your calls on some of those. And here at exactly 10 a.m., we acknowledge that it was at this moment, really beginning at 9:59, 12 years ago, that the first tower was collapsing. If you want to listen to the official 9/11 memorial ceremony, we are streaming it live at WNYC.org. If you want to stay with us, we'll break down the primary day results now and get to your local 9/11 memorials later. But our thoughts, our prayers with everybody who lost people 12 years ago today. Now, if you went to sleep early last night, you missed some pretty bracing primary night speeches. We're going to start with a minute of Bill de Blasio, who came in first as the Democratic mayoral race. Now, we still don't know if he won the nomination outright or will have to face Bill Thompson in a runoff. But if de Blasio is the nominee, here is how he launched what he hopes will be his general election campaign. This was around midnight last night. A vision of a post-Bloomberg New York. This begins with a reference to the day de Blasio launched his campaign in January.
That day we saw a ripple of determination to chart a new way forward, to offer an unapologetically progressive alternative to the Bloomberg era. And when that crowd dispersed, it wasn't just the end of yet another political speech. It was the early stages of a movement. A movement for something bigger than ourselves. Something that would transform the way we thought about our city and its future. Something that spoke to our neighbors from every borough. Now, we set off on a journey to change this city. And tonight, before so many friends, I say this, what we have achieved here tonight and what we'll do in the next round of this campaign won't just change the view of how things look inside City Hall, but will change the policies that have left behind so many of our fellow New Yorkers outside of City Hall.
Bill de Blasio last night around midnight. By contrast, the Republican nominee, Joe Loda, gave his own feisty speech and, without mentioning de Blasio by name, was clearly referring to him as he threw down the gauntlet for the general election like this.
Ladies and gentlemen, over the next 2 months, New Yorkers will see two completely different visions for the future of our city. I'm hearing an awful lot coming from the other side about a tale of two cities and how they want to tear down the progress that's happened over the last 20 years. This tale is nothing more than class warfare, an attempt to divide our city. It's a feeble retreat to the old playbook that promises a perfect world but delivers only special interest-dominated politics. It's this kind of thinking that brought our city to the brink of bankruptcy and with rampant civic decay. In this campaign that starts tonight, I'm not going to let the other side divide our city. I will campaign to unify our city.
Republican mayoral nominee Joe Loda last night. Game on. With me now, WNYC political reporters Anna Sale and Bridget Bergen. Bridget was at de Blasio headquarters last night. Anna was with Christine Quinn. Bridget and Anna, you are both troopers to be in the studio. I think you probably got even less sleep than I did.
Glad to be here.
Quite a night.
And listeners, our phones are open for your thoughts, your feelings, your punditry, your questions this morning after at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 on the mayoral, or you can add the controller's race right now. We'll get into a lot of other races as we go later in the hour. And Bridget, first things first, do we have a winner in the Democratic primary?
Well, as you said, we have a top vote getter. Certainly Bill de Blasio came in first. But the question is, will there be a runoff? And at this point, the second place finisher was former Comptroller Bill Thompson. He is not backing down. He did not give a concession speech last night. He came out to greet his supporters to cheers of three more weeks. And as of this morning, there's no sign that he's slowing down. I think all the campaigns are relatively quiet today in observance of the 9/11. But I anticipate going forward, he will be, you know, hitting the pavement hard all the way through the rest of this weekend. And it's important to note, you know, the Board of Elections hasn't officially certified the results of this election. What we talk about on election night are the unofficial election results. And so starting, you know, the process that takes place now, they're going to open all the machines on Friday. They're going to look at all the numbers on the machines. And then on Monday, that's when they start counting the paper ballots, because that will include not just the provisional ballots that were cast yesterday, but also all the absentee ballots and the military ballots that come in.
And I've heard estimates from 19,000 to 30,000 of these ballots yet to be counted. And what's the margin at the moment, the unofficial margin that de Blasio has over 40%?
According to the results on our incredibly wonderful WNYC homepage, it's so small. It's a 0.19% margin over that 40%.
Right, which is, I think, hundreds of votes or about 1,000 votes.
So Mike Pesca, NPR's Mike Pesca, calculated it was about 260 votes.
I saw that last night, that tweet. I think it's a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
But still, if there are 20 or 30,000 votes yet to be counted, then you can understand why Bill Thompson would say in the post-Bush versus Gore era, everybody wants their votes to be counted. So here's another clip. This is 37 seconds of Thompson in his primary night speech saying three more weeks.
We are just getting going here. We're just starting. Let me congratulate Bill de Blasio for running a good campaign. That's something he knows how to do. But every voice in New York City counts. And we're going to wait for every voice to be heard. We're going to wait for every voice to be counted. So, my friends, this is far from over. Far from over.
Bill Thompson, the reference to three more weeks, by the way, is because the runoff election, if held, would be Tuesday, October 1st, 3 weeks from yesterday.
Exactly. And that was also part of that change that helped us bring back those lever voting machines. They moved the runoff date from 2 weeks to 3 weeks out from the primary.
And we know there will be a runoff election. They will have to set up all these machines again in any case, because there'll be a public advocate runoff. So it's not a question of spending the money, I guess. They have to spend it anyway and set up for the public advocates race. So people won't be able to protest Thompson's taking it to that point, however unlikely a victory some may see it to be on the basis of money. But Don in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, my question is, what does Bo Thompson think he's going to gain when he's lost the black vote to de Blasio, the white vote to de Blasio, the Hispanic vote to de Blasio, the woman vote to de Blasio, the gay vote to de Blasio? What does he hope to gain?
Great question. I refer you to political reporter Anna Sale.
That is a good question. I mean, when you look at the exit polls, that's right. Bill de Blasio just ran the table. But the question is, how does the race change when there's only two candidates running instead of five, six, seven, eight? And there is Bill Thompson, I imagine his campaign is talking to not only their allies on the union movement, the teachers' union, but also some of their support in the business community to see what do they hope to gain and what could they potentially gain. And I think also this every vote counts language. When I was talking to voters, they were talking about making sure to go out, particularly Black voters, talking about disenfranchisement, voter ID, this new Jim Crow. So this idea of every vote counts is also in line with what's happened elsewhere in the country in elections.
And I was thinking about what the path to victory would have to be for Bill Thompson, and I think it would have to be very negative against de Blasio, just as we heard in that clip. Even in sort of congratulating de Blasio on primary night and coming in first, he says he ran a good campaign. That's something he knows how to do, you know, dig that needle in. And I think he would have to argue that his late surge, de Blasio's, left him unscrutinized, that de Blasio rails against the rich and against slumlords while taking their campaign donations, at least in some cases, that he was for term limits before he was against them, as Christine Quinn kept saying, that he backed the essential core of Mayor Bloomberg's development and rezoning strategies at the same time as he critiques gentrification today, and against his promise to raise taxes. Thompson says, I don't promise to raise that. I promise not to raise taxes except as a last resort. So I think he would be trying to pull back voters of color and grassroots voters with the first part of that, and some Christine Quinn moderates from her 15% of the vote by saying he wouldn't right away raise taxes. Anna, does that make sense to you?
Yes, that makes sense. And the first part of that, scrutinizing Bill de Blasio, that's what's going to happen while we're waiting for these runoff results to come in. The press is going to do that for the Bill Thompson campaign should the runoff happen. So he doesn't have a lot of time to make those distinctions that you just laid out. I mean, we're at 3 weeks starting yesterday. It's three weeks away. And so if it's not till next week that we know a runoff is officially happening, that gives 2 weeks to go way negative.
And you were looking at some more exit poll results just before we went on the air. The caller said de Blasio won the Black vote and listed all those other demographics that he won over Thompson. But you had a nuance on that.
Yeah, what I thought was really interesting, when you look at the exit polls on the New York Times website, when it breaks it down by sex and race, Bill de Blasio won among Black women voters. Bill Thompson won among Black male voters. So there was an interesting gender gap among Black voters in the primary yesterday.
Michael in Brooklyn wants to react to the contrasting clips we played between de Blasio and Joe Loda. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I'm a longtime listener. I love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a comment that I think touches the nerves of most New Yorkers who are working people, which is most New Yorkers. Loda said last night in his speech that de Blasio was trying to wage class warfare. First of all, there's always been class warfare because there is a very big difference between a landlord and a renter, a worker and an owner of a business. And politicians have to address that. He makes it sound like we're one big happy family, and there's no difference between poor people and rich people.
Michael, thank you very much. And Bridget, I think we heard in the de Blasio speech last night how he's going to try to move for the general election from simply talking about a tale of two cities to talking about how he can unite New Yorkers through this theme of a tale of two cities, that it's a uniting theme, not a dividing theme.
Absolutely. I thought two things were really interesting about his speech last night. He talked about how, you know, New York is a city of big ideas, and sort of rebuked any of the criticism that has been laid on him about his tax plan and other proposals that people have said, you know, are ideas that will take, are more than what a mayor can do, as small thinking, and that he is putting forth big ideas for a big city, and that's what New Yorkers do. What I thought was also really interesting is after he came to the stage and thanked his family and stood there, you know, surrounded by, you know, his loved ones, he pivoted to this really interesting acknowledgement of September 11th and the anniversary, and said that it was about showing that, you know, what government needs to do in a time of crisis, and then also talked about how you know, we needed to use all the resources we had at our disposal to keep the city safe, which was, I thought, slightly different language than I've heard from him when he's talked about it just in the when he talks about, you know, public safety in the context of, say, stop and frisk. He was talking about it in a context that I thought would appeal to potentially a LOTA voter in a different way, acknowledging that there is a really important role for government to play when it comes to issues like anti-terrorism, and also acknowledging the role of leadership that and the way he plans to run the city if he were to be in that position.
WNYC's Bridget Bergen and Anna Sale as we break down the mayoral election results last night. We'll get to other races in a few minutes with other guests. Rachel in Brooklyn says Bill Thompson doesn't have to run a primarily negative campaign if there's a runoff. Rachel, thanks for calling.
Hi. Yeah. I think that, I mean, I think you touched on it. I couldn't quite hear through the radio, but that Lota's speech last night made it extremely clear the approach he was going to take if de Blasio were to not need a runoff and were to just be the candidate on the for the Democrats. And so Thompson, it seems to me, could very legitimately present an alternative of someone who is very experienced in government. He's very articulate. He can point, I think, a bit more than de Blasio to his experience and achievements. It was a little bit of a dig to say de Blasio knows how to run a campaign. But on the other hand, that does seem to be the greatest accomplishment that we've seen from de Blasio. So I don't think Thompson has to run such a negative campaign, and I think unions might, you know, play a stronger role if there were a runoff.
Yeah, those are all good points. De Blasio's job in the year 2000, a lot of people don't know this, Anna, is that he was the campaign manager for Hillary Clinton's U.S. Senate campaign in New York, the first one, and he's close to the Clintons, right?
Yeah, and just to the point about moderate voters, that was another interesting detail in the exit polls. Bill Thompson won among self-identified moderates by 3 points over Bill de Blasio. About 30% of the Democratic electorate identified as moderates, and Bill de Blasio won among very liberal and somewhat liberal self-identifying Democratic voters.
How about Quinn? She didn't win the moderate self-identified
Quinn
moderates?
Quinn only got 11% of the self-identified moderates compared to 35% for Bill Thompson and 32% for Bill de Blasio.
Let me play a Quinn clip. And Anna, you were at Quinn headquarters last night, and obviously this must be a shock to the woman who was the front runner for so long, who probably thought she was set up through experience, if not political positioning, to be the next mayor of New York, Christine Quinn.
From 16 years old to 87 years old.
Yeah.
Who knocked on doors, made telephone calls, helped share our message to voters in every neighborhood. I can't express how grateful I am to each and every one of you.
What happened?
Christine Quinn did not do well. I mean, she her strongest showing was in Manhattan, and that's in line with some of the early criticism from Thompson's campaign, who pointed out that Christine Quinn had never won citywide office. As much power as she'd amassed in city council, she'd never run for citywide office. And when you look at our returns map, you see she just didn't make it outside of Manhattan. 15%, she did not win women. She did not win among gay and lesbian voters in exit polls. Bill de Blasio won them, the 9% of Democratic primary voters who identified as gay and lesbian. I mean, her campaign just ran out of steam. She had a ceiling. They knew she had a ceiling of potential supporters because of her connections to Bloomberg, but 15% is lower than she'd ever really polled. So just collapsed.
And if she was running to be, in a sense, the heir to Bloomberg, even though in her own way and changing some things, the exit polls were pretty brutal among voting Democrats about Mayor Bloomberg. And so these attitudes, I presume, rubbed off on Quinn's vote. Only a slight majority approved of his mayoralty, but a majority. But three-quarters said they wanted a change from his policies. This is three-quarters of Democratic mayoral primary voters yesterday. And just 3 in 10 said he had improved the public schools. So, Bridget, that had to be bad news for Christine Quinn.
Absolutely. I mean, I think before we were starting to see the exit polls of results for the actual candidates, we had seen that exit poll result about New Yorkers voting for change. And at that point, at the de Blasio headquarters, you could already feel the mood lifting. People people knew that you could interpret that as good news for their campaign. And clearly it was. People who are voting for change are most likely voting for de Blasio. I think, you know, for Christine Quinn's sake, she was certainly not helped in any way by this interview with Mayor Bloomberg in New York Magazine that, again, sort of cited her ability to influence legislation in the city council and, you know, the mayor crediting her for keeping legislation away from the council that could have damaged, you know, by his estimation, the city. You know, that was potentially going to be a weakness for her early in the campaign when the issue of paid sick leave was still out there. And, you know, they found a compromise that let her move forward with that. But I feel like that story brought those issues up again and reminded folks of the alliance that they perceived between her and the mayor.
And it was another success for the de Blasio campaign. We forget about it because it seems like ancient history now. But earlier this year, he was the one out of the pack who was really leading the charge, making paid sick leave and that legislation that Christine Quinn was bottling up the central focus of his campaign, and forced her to come to a compromise on that and get it through the council.
But remember that moment when it actually passed city council. I was thinking about this as I was watching Bill de Blasio's poll numbers soar. When that deal finally went through council, Christine Quinn was at the center of that celebratory press conference. Mm-hmm. And only later in the day, Bill de Blasio was standing alone criticizing the scope of the bill, and no one was there with him. So what a narrative to go from that to potentially over 40% of the vote. It just shows Christine Quinn misread the zeitgeist in the city. The voters did not want a steady hand. They wanted change.
Barbara in the East Village, you're on WNYC. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, good morning. I'm just wondering what her plan B is. I mean, I think that she probably thought that she herself was heir apparent and is probably shocked. What's her political future in the city or elsewhere?
Yeah, it's a good question. Anna, what do you think? Maybe private sector? Maybe she runs for Congress? I don't know whose congressional district she lives in. What do you think?
Well, you know, that was an interesting moment during her speech last night. She talked about what she thought the meaning of her campaign was and talked about young girls coming up to her on the campaign trail and how she felt satisfied that she had showed those girls that anything was possible. She talked about being an example for young LGBT youth and showing them that they're not alone. And it was very this sense of like that was my impact and kind of a backward looking sense. And the crowd at one point breaks in and chanted, "You're not done. You're not done." And she just sort of talked past that and then left without taking any more questions. It was a very somber mood at the Quinn headquarters last night.
Yes, I'm sure that there are many ways. I know that there are many ways to have an impact on the world. And she's somebody who wants to have an impact on the world without doing it through elective office. Look at Reshma Saujani, who lost the public advocates race yesterday, but she had also lost a few years ago a congressional primary against Carolyn Maloney. And then she went out and founded this thing in the private sector called Girls Who Code, which is exactly what it sounds, trying to teach a lot of computer science skills to girls, and had an impact with that. She lost her next race, as I said yesterday, but it's an example of a way to have an impact on society in the private sector after you do lose a political contest. Brian in Southeast Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
All right.
Yeah, you saw the clear contrast between Loda and de Blasio. That tale of two cities will resonate this time around. When Ferraro ran against Mike, it didn't resonate then because it was not quite evident. But this time around, the class distinction, the people who are suffering, the middle class, poor, and he has a message, a winning message. I think he can take this forward and become, be victorious. And it shows last night that he laid his groundwork. He has issues that he's going to focus on, and I have confidence that he'll pull this off.
Thank you for your call, Brian. And, of course, time will tell, presuming de Blasio is finally the nominee. Anna, we're going to talk to a couple of political scientists later in the show. And one of my central questions for them will be, has the city just changed demographically enough that it's going to be harder for Joe Loda or anybody to marginalize the liberal Democrat and win, like Bloomberg successfully did three times and Giuliani the two times before him? So that's, I think, you know, there are some numbers out there about how the city is changing.
There is, and the exit polls in 2009 in that general election, of course, there was very low turnout, but it was the first time exit polls showed that it was a majority-minority general election electorate in New York City. So this
is Bloomberg won that race against a black candidate.
He did. He did. And so it's quite interesting. 1989, 1993, those very clear contrasts between Rudy Giuliani and David Dinkins. We had opposite results in those two elections. Now we've got a Giuliani alum running against a Dinkins alum. That will be an interesting way to see how the city has changed, not only what the priorities are in terms of policy, but also who lives here.
Anna, you did some historical reporting earlier in the campaign on the steady decline in New York City election turnout over the last few decades, like 50 years worth. Did we buck the trend?
Well, we did pretty well. And if you're looking at the Democratic primary turnout, it was like 330,000 in 2009. Of course, that was when there was a presumption that Bloomberg was going to win that third term race, low voter interest, a lot of frustration and disaffection after that third term vote happened. But the totals are about 640,000 in terms of Democrats who went out to the polls yesterday. So people had suspected that it was going to be anywhere from 500,000 to 700,000. So that's pretty good. But still, think about all the people who live here. And that's not that many people who actually made the decision yesterday in the Democratic primary.
I just think it's interesting as we reflect on the 2009 election and we talk about, you know, comparing it to this election and the fact that, you know, Mayor Bloomberg was able to win, that the Thompson campaign will be quick to remind us that the margin by which he won was 4.5 percentage points. It was so narrow. And given how much the city has changed in that time, you know, it looks like it would be a much different election in 2013 than in 2009.
John Liu held the percentage that he was getting in the pre-election polls, about 8%. So he has some kind of future at something. And, of course, he also had his own scandal having to do with campaign finances. But he's got a constituency out there of a certain size that really finds that he represents them. And then there was one other candidate who didn't win last night.
There's no doubt about it. We had the best ideas. Sadly, I was an imperfect messenger.
Anna, and he couldn't even leave the stage without there being another circus atmosphere moment last night, right?
There were a couple, but the one I think that will sit with voters is the image of Anthony Weiner leaving the Returns Party with his middle finger extended to the press as he left.
To the collected press? This wasn't an incident with one guy?
I wasn't there, but it was to a reporter. But the picture that is on Twitter and there's everywhere is Anthony Weiner with his middle finger raised as he's leaving his election returns party.
And if any candidate had a lesson to learn from the power of Twitter, one could argue it was Anthony Weiner. So whether it was to one reporter or not, we've all seen it now.
And one more point to make about Anthony Weiner as we talk about the general election and the general electorate, looking at vote totals, Anthony Weiner actually got more votes than Joe Loda did because
Whoa.
He had 31,400 votes. Joe Loda, 29,900, according to our vote
because
totals.
Because there are so few registered Republicans.
Because
there
are so few registered Republicans.
Well, Anna Sale and Bridget Bergen, WNYC political reporters, they know how to use Twitter. Follow them both at Anna Sale, at Bridget Bergen. Great work over the last 24, 48 hours. You're sleepless, you're giddy, but great work. Thank you very much, Brian Lehrer at WNYC. And we'll continue with more results and so many interesting results from other races in a minute with Ben Match from Decide NYC. Stay tuned.